Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this is a difficult parable that Jesus tells us. It's difficult because it seems like Jesus commends a person who has acted dishonestly, a person who has schemed, and a person who is described as shrewd. And so as we read this passage, we read it with the lens of Psalm 113, and we read it also from the lens of verse 13 of our gospel, which says, "You cannot serve God and wealth." At the beginning of this parable, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. He was wasting it. He was doing it dishonor. He was misusing it. And so the master summons this manager to give account to it. He says, "What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer." And then apparently the man has some time, and he goes and he figures, "Oh, I'm in hot water now, so I better devise a plan to get myself out of this." And he says that, "You know, what will I do now that my master is taking position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg." So we're introduced to two different characters in this parable, the manager and the wealthy master. The manager, we find that he is squandering, he is unfaithful, he is caught in mismanagement, and so he begins to scheme once he realizes that the thing that he trusted in, his job and his the income that he earned from serving the master, is going to be dried up. He's found that his milk cow has gone dry, and so he doesn't know what to do. The other person that's in this parable, the other character, is the master himself. And here we see just one little hint about the character of the master. Put this parable in a modern setting. Imagine you are a business owner and you maybe live a little ways away from your business, so you have a manager that takes care of things, and you get your monthly reports and something doesn't look quite right. And so you go and investigate and you find that the manager has been embezzling. What do you do as the owner of the company? Well, you call security and you have that person booted out of the place right away, right? You don't give them time to look over the books any second longer. You change the combination on the safe. You change the locks. You take away the keys. You make sure that this person is prosecuted. Here, the master gives time to the manager. Throughout the Gospels, when Jesus tells a parable and there's a master or a landowner, or a character that is often the Jesus character in the parable, we find that this person is often generous, they are patient, and they are forgiving. And here, we see that same thing happening for this master to this manager. The manager picks up on this, and so he begins to scheme according to this. Verse 4, "I have decided what to do," says the manager, "when I am dismissed, so that people may welcome me into their homes." So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asks the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he answered, 100 jugs of oil. So he said, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and change it to 50. And so he goes to another person and he asks, "How much do you owe my master?" "Well, I owe him 100 things of wheat." "Well, take your bill, change it to be 80 instead. Quickly, write this down, so that you may pay 80 instead of 100. And because of this, the master commends this dishonest manager for acting shrewdly. The manager sees that the world is a place full of insecurities. And caught in his own sin, his mismanagement, his squandering, he realizes that the one thing that he had placed his security in, that being his job, his profession, the things that he possessed, was suddenly taken away from him. And when it's taken away, he realizes also that there's some things that I'm not able to trust in. I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm too ashamed to beg. I cannot trust in myself any longer. So unable to lean upon his own strength, his position, his possession, his milk cow, he instead decides to shrewdly lean upon the generosity of the master. And he does so by offering dishonest discounts to those people that owed his master things. You owe 5,000 bucks? Okay, sit down, make it 2,500. You owe a Mercedes? Okay, sit down, let's call it a Toyota instead. He cuts their bills significantly. Again, if this was the real world, a master would not put up with that. He would see the person certainly prosecuted, taken by the ear, kicked out in handcuffs out of the door. But here, the master recognizes something in the manager. The master commends the man because of his shrewdness. And in his shrewdness, it is shown that the manager falls now upon the generosity of the master instead of the false securities offered by an already unsecure world. Jesus then sums this up in a couple verses with what are also some confusing verses. Verse 8 and 9, and his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Here Jesus talks about two different people: the children of this age and the children of light. Now, the children of this age are those who do not follow Christ. They do not belong to the Lord. They do not believe in what Christ has done for them. And the children of the light are those who do follow the Lord. And what Jesus tells us here is that those who are not Christians, those who do not call the Lord Almighty their God, who do not recognize what Jesus has done for them on the cross, are shrewd. And actually, they're very sensible in that they really only worship one God. Now, that God is certainly false. And that God might go by many names. It might go by possession. It might go by wealth. It might go by my own strength, my own power. It might go by nature. But at least they only serve one God. And in serving that God, they seek to find their security in an unsecure world. But Jesus tells us here that it is more difficult, though, for the Christian, for those who follow Christ, to live in this world because they are not as shrewd as the non-Christian. Those who do follow Christ find themselves torn between two gods. We will lay claim to the Lord, the God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, creator of all that is, the one who formed you in your mother's womb, the one who died for you on the cross, that forgives your sin. We'll lay claim to that God and all the promises that that God gives us. But we'll also try to lay claim to the God of possession, the God of wealth, the God of our own human strength. And when we have fears that the Lord God Almighty will not give us security in an insecure world, we'll try to find that security in our pocketbooks, in our purses, in family, in friends, in other places than the Lord. And so then Jesus closes this up by giving a clear message. You cannot serve God and wealth. You will be torn between the two. At times you will love one, hate the other, despise one, and love the other. There is no in-between. So like the shrewd manager, we are called then to find our security solely in the generosity of our Master and Maker. We are called then to look and to sing the praises of Psalm 113, who recognizes the Lord God Almighty sitting on high, high above all things, yet the God who comes down and looks upon the lowly, those who are poor, those who are childless, those who are sick and weak, and serves them, because our God is a generous God. We are called, like the shrewd manager, then to recognize, as Paul tells us in Timothy, that we do have a God and Savior in Jesus Christ who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God. And in Him there is one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, Himself human, who gave Himself as a ransom for all. This is our one and true God. Let us not this morning be torn between our wealth and our possession and the God who saves us, the one who came down from on high to hang upon a cross, so that you might know the one true God, that you might be forgiven by the one true God and might have life eternal with the one true God. Let us pray. O gracious and generous Master, we thank You for what You have blessed us with. We pray, Lord, that in Your blessings we would find contentment, to know that You provide for us all our needs, and that You watch out for us and You come down to us. Help us then, as people who find our security in You, to use what You have given us then to bless others, that we may one day greet them also in Your heavenly kingdom. We pray this then in Your name. Amen.